97.5, The Fanatic.
What is going on, everyone? 97.5, The Fanatic. I'm Hunter Brody, and I have you covered until noon today. It's an Eagles game day. I don't know if I feel great about this game, but I do know that there's a path to victory. See, the thing is, they can win this game. There is an area on the football field that they can take advantage of, which is a good thing. I just don't know if they're going to exploit those holes the way that they should, and that's my concern. Dan Fritz is producing today's show. What's up, Dan? What's going on?
Oi.
How are you? It's nice to see you.
I know. I was beginning to forget what you look like.
I know.
Well, I was on the road to recovery.
That's unfortunate for you. Now, I'm looking forward to today. Look, Sunday morning, I had my coffee.
Oh, boy.
I also brought in a 24-ounce coffee from Wawa. So I'm all wired, and I'm pumped up just because it's been so long since the last Eagles game, although I might regret that statement two quarters in when the Eagles struggled to move the football. But I guess, you know, when I look through the schedule, you see the Falcons to start the season. You go, that's a winnable football game. We got sucked into the 49ers because of how they looked against Atlanta, and they lost. Okay, but when you see the Dallas Cowboys, you go, it's probably going to be a struggle. You're on the road, prime time. Yeah, they lost 41-21. It wasn't even close. The Chiefs, you don't think that there's really a win. The Panthers, you do. And I'm bringing this up to you because when I see the Raiders on the schedule, I noticed that this team wasn't going to win a lot of games early. But when certain teams come up, it's, okay, there's a chance. It's not outrageous to think that they could win. And then you see the spread. It opens up at 3. There is an opportunity for the Eagles to come out of Vegas with a win. Now, there's a key area offensively that Nick Sirianni has to dial into. They have not yet all season long. We've been told they were going to self-assess. And the fact that they played on a Thursday night gave them a longer opportunity to really dive into the issues. We heard from the offensive coordinator in a press conference. We heard from Nick Sirianni himself in the press conference. And it makes it seem as if they are aware that one individual named Miles Sanders needs to touch the ball more. And there's a big difference between the old school heads out there that just say, oh, you got to run the rock a billion times. That's not what we're saying. But you can't force your team to be one dimensional. That's the entire concept of game planning, right? Throughout a week, you want to force the other team to be one dimensional and go from there. Well, the way that the run game is so non-existent, you're doing the job of the other team for them. You're basically handing it over on a silver platter. So I'm not someone where you need to run the ball X amount of times, 50-50. But it's got to be some sort of threat once in a while out there, or you're just going to get annihilated the way that you do. And the RPO, Nick, guess what? It's not a run. So please stop convincing yourself that it is. So I have some statistics for you in this run game. Okay? The Raiders are allowing 4.6 yards per carry, which is 25th in the NFL. Only one team has allowed more runs of 20 plus yards, and only four teams have allowed more rushing touchdowns. That is my key to victory. You have a chance to hand it off and to get some yards. With Lane Johnson back in action, you know, you have a better offensive line, I should say, out there than Andre Dillard and Maialata playing right tackle. Not that I thought that was egregious by any means, but Lane Johnson is clearly a significant upgrade on that right side, and you're getting healthier in that area and getting back to your starters, I should say. I just don't know if I can sit here and say he's going to do it based off of the track record, based off of what we've seen. They're saying the right things by, well, we have to do this more, but I've heard that a lot so far this year. We're going to put our players in positions to succeed. Have you? I can make the argument with Jonathan Gannon. No, you haven't. I can make the argument with Nick Sirianni. No, you haven't. So they say a lot of things. That's great. And I even stated this during the regular season. During the preseason before regular season even happened. It's all easy in August to be rah-rah and excited about the football season and what's going to happen. But how about when you lose a couple games? What happens when you fall flat on your face? How do you rebound? You can say everything you want to say. Now it's time to execute. And I'm looking at Nick Sirianni today to execute that game plan, because what I need to see is logic. What I have not seen from Nick Sirianni is logic. I could live with you not having enough talent and losing if your game plan heading into the action made sense. You have 7 days normally, or you know, a whole week to get ready for an opponent. And if you're telling me majority of the time this year, they just wasted all of those days on nonsense, that bothers me. I need to witness today, since we're all about learning who Nick Sirianni is, learning who Jalen Hurts is. That's the idea of this season. So that's a big focus for me today. Nick Sirianni, what did you come up with after that time off? And after stating that, we have to dive deep and look at ourselves in the mirror to really witness why this offense isn't moving at all. See, last week against Tampa Bay, it wasn't just the fact that they couldn't get first downs. They couldn't get first downs against a secondary that was obliterated. And oh, by the way, Richard Sherman went out as well to even put them at a more of a disadvantage, and they still couldn't do it. So there's clearly major issues happening all around when that is the case. And yeah, I think the quarterback is a big reason why as well. I think right now we're watching an inexperienced head coach who's put in an uncomfortable spot because of the quarterback. And I think the quarterback is put into an uncomfortable spot because of the inexperienced head coach. I think it's a combination of both. But the more and more I watch Jalen Hurts, I want him to be the guy more than anybody else, because I want to look at those three draft picks this upcoming year and say, let's go target playmakers defensively. Let's get the next Malcolm Jenkins. Let's get the next guy that we can look at like Parsons on Dallas and say, wow, he could do so much. He could play linebacker. He could be, you know, the safety hybrids these days where they could play safety or they could play linebacker. In Parsons' case, he could play linebacker. He could play defensive end. There's so much versatility in these players. And to retool and reshape, if you have your quarterback, you're good to go. I'm sorry, though. What I'm seeing is a guy who doesn't make the plays and doesn't make the simple throws that have to be consistently done at this level, efficiently done at this level. There's a reason why the middle of the field isn't targeted. There's a reason why RPOs is the idea. There's a reason why he's not going under center. I want Hurts to be the guy at some point. I just mentioned it. It's about learning what you have, and I want to see him in those scenarios so then we have the information we're looking for. But I think them not doing it is also somewhat of the information that we're looking for. So Nick Sirianni, of course, is on the radar today. And then that moves to the defense. The defense is major. Major, major, major. And here's why. The Atlanta Falcons, Carolina Panthers. Those are your two victories this season. Bend, don't break. Soft defense. You have your shell defense, you got safeties high, keep everything in front of you. It worked against Sam Darnold, it worked against Matt Ryan week one where, you know, nobody really knows how to justify things week one because it's so new, it's so raw, the adrenaline rush, no one plays preseason, so it's a little bit wonky. But where Matt Ryan is in his career, I think it's pretty simple, he's not at the top. So you lose to a 49ers team. Not that they exploded offensively. They only scored 17 points. Dak Prescott, Tom Brady, Pat Mahomes absolutely annihilated this defensive identity. Well, I look at Derek Carr as somebody in between. In between Matt Ryan and Sam Darnold, and then the best in the league right now in Dak, Pat Mahomes, and Tom Brady. So what is this defense going to look like when it's not someone who can just pick it apart at will, unless Derek Carr can? But I'm saying at the level of Tom Brady walking up to the line of scrimmage, he's smiling ear to ear knowing that, okay, well, watch this. Watch these methodical drives. Same with Andy Reid. Dude, this is abysmal defensive game plan. We'll just move the chains. We'll move the sticks. We'll take what we'll give you. Can Derek Carr efficiently just take what they give you consistently? I would say yes, and that's why I need Jonathan Gannon to be a little bit more versatile, throw some disguises their way, but this will be a test on Jonathan Gannon's scheme to see where it falls with this level of quarterback, which is, I would say, above average but not special. And their attack is in the air. Now, we got an update this morning from Adam Schefter, who tweeted this out about 2 hours ago. Raiders tight end Darren Waller, who was added to the injury report Saturday with an ankle issue, doesn't feel great. And Las Vegas is not expected to know until pregame warmups whether he can play today against the Eagles. Now, that is massive in terms of, you know, the threats that they have. He's a game-changing level tight end. I've seen, though, the way that Jonathan Gannon limited Travis Kelce, where maybe they have something there, but if Darren Waller's not playing, that only opens up the door to get more creative with Darius Slay and some of your other concepts to stop some of their threats. But Henry Ruggs, right now, he's averaging 22.3 yards per catch, which leads the NFL. He's got 20 catches for 445 yards. Hunter Renfrow, he's good at route running there in the slot, so he could provide a nice solid target for Derek Carr, Bryan Edwards. Now, they're going with a lot of drama right now with John Gruden no longer being there. Game one, they come out, and there's an adrenaline rush. Let's prove everybody, look, we got this locker room. It's under control. It's fine. How long does that last, though? At some point, does that change? They have Olsen there, though, to help, and I think Derek Carr and him have been working well together. Here's some stats for Derek Carr. He is averaging 8.4 yards per pass attempt, which is second in the NFL, only behind Tom Brady. They can air the ball out. Something's got to give here. The Raiders lead the NFL with 32 passing plays over 20-plus yards. The Eagles have allowed the second fewest passing plays of 20-plus yards in the NFL with 11. So just some numbers to look at. And I have a test here on Jonathan Gannon to see what he's all about with his identity. And where does that fall in terms of the quarterback position? We know that it will get destroyed against the best. Doesn't work against the best because they pick it apart at will. And they know that sustained drives, a lot of plays, taking time off the clock, That'll work for them. And we witnessed it three times now. Sam Darnold had issues. When Jimmy Garoppolo was playing, they were open throws to make. He just missed them because he stinks. I remember specifically early on, 3rd and 7, wide open towards the left sideline. Ball flies out of his hand, soars out of bounds. Like, there were plays to be made, but just poor quarterback play can't accomplish that. Derek Carr is somewhere in the middle. So, you know, that's kind of where my head is at. Nick Sirianni, run the ball. It's there. The Raiders defense is giving you that. Please take. And you know what? Here's what I'll say. If it doesn't work and get shut down, once again, it goes back to the logic. All right, so you went into the game plan saying, these are the holes of the Raiders. Let's try and force it down their throat there. Let's try and gamble and let's use this. If it doesn't work, I can at least get behind the logic and the idea of it making sense. From there, we'll assess what went wrong. Is Landon Dickerson a problem there at the left guard? What happened at the left side of the line? Why didn't it work? Did Miles Sanders not hit the right gap? Was there not enough of a gap for him to hit? Did the trench, you know what I mean? Like, we'll analyze why it wasn't successful. But step one is, okay, the game plan is something I can get behind. And to this point, I've been underwhelmed with Nick Sirianni. Dan, you got any thoughts there on my little 15-minute rant to open up the show?
Nope. For once, I'm going to agree with you wholeheartedly.
What do you mean, for once?
I never agree with you wholeheartedly. Usually
that's crazy.
But no, you're spot on in that you gotta run the bloody ball. And if it doesn't work, okay, fine. Then make adjustments.
But he takes too long to make adjustments,
yeah,
sometimes.
And that's, it's just, it's simplistic. You know, I often joke around, you know, you have to wonder, and going back to that Tampa Bay game, how many times the TV cut to the sideline, and there's the assistant coaches from Tampa Bay looking up in the sky like, man, we saw this one coming from 5 states away.
Yeah.
You know, what's the scouting report for this team sometimes look like? Is it a comic book?
Well, I like that you said that because I was talking to someone in the league and they literally told me, we laugh at times. Like, they know exactly what's coming due to the way Jalen Hurts is checking, the way they're looking around. They know what's coming at times. And that's bad. Very collegey is the way that it was described to me. Very, very collegey. And not that that's surprising. We knew that there were deficiencies with Jalen Hurts. We knew there were legitimate concerns with Jalen Hurts. And I saw Greg Cassell, and I saw his report on Jalen Hurts with the scouting report coming out of the draft. every concern that he had is what we're talking about now, which just makes a lot of sense with, you know, just why we're seeing what we're seeing kind of thing. So the phone number to climb in is 610-632-0975. That's 610-632-0975. It's game day. It's game day. I feel the energy. It's been some time. Look, unfortunately, there was a character in this city named Benjamin, and he took the city by storm over the last handful of days, which killed the vibe of Eagles football. Not that there's a lot of excitement happening with this team, but it took away from the Eagles, and there wasn't that much conversation. Well, today there should be. Because in a handful of hours, actually it's a 4 o'clock game start today, of course, so a little bit more than a couple hours. But we'll be seeing the team out there on the football field, and I want to talk about it. And I think there is a way to win this game. Doesn't mean they will, but I can't say that every week. I cannot say that every week where, look, there is a concept. So when it's actually looking at us in the face, I got to somewhat be a little optimistic, even though when I am a little optimistic, I shoot it down by saying we haven't seen that happen yet before. So it's a lot of mixed emotions, really.
Little mood music?
I don't know if we're there yet, but I...
Different mood.
Yeah. Oh. We can do that. That works for me. All right, let's go to the phone. Let's go to Chris in Allentown. Chris, you're on 97.5, the Fanatic. Hey, Chris.
Good morning, guys. You know, I came into the season very optimistic and kind of like, all right, let's see what we got kind of deal. But I'm like, I have this eerie, scary thing. It's like, I look at Sirianni and I'm looking at Gannon right now as Schwartz and Doug Peterson. I think I hate this team more than I hate last year's team. I think Howie Roseman. Okay. Picked a puppet at the end of the day, and this goes back to that Green Bay game where the Eagles won, and Jeff Lurie complained that we didn't pass the ball enough.
Yeah,
and that scares me.
And I think that that's legitimate to have that concern for sure, especially knowing the run-pass ratio here and what we're seeing. The thing is with Howie picking a puppet. When it comes, I think that's more Jeff. It's almost like the snowball effect, right? Jeffrey Lurie has Howie Roseman, who is a puppet to Jeffrey Lurie. And then when Jeffrey Lurie, he's very involved in the head coach search, obviously. You know, that's part of the puppet as well, which, you know, you could say happens all throughout the league. There's reasons why owners hire who they hire because they know that they can kind of have their say and they own the team so they can. But it's funny, though, because I think this puts the Jim Schwartz thing into somewhat of perspective where I never hated Jim Schwartz. It wasn't sexy, the style of play that it was, but it worked. And I mean, I would go back to Jim Schwartz in a heartbeat over what I've seen from Jonathan Gannon. I honestly.
That's a coin toss because I'm on the other side. I hated the Sticks defense, man. Like, it's 3rd-and-17 and you're standing on the thing. You should be blitzing that quarterback. I mean, you know, that 10 yards that they get. That changes field position for yourself, but I would love to find another Andy Reid at the end of the day, but there's Nick Sirianni.
Well, here's one thing, Chris, I want to throw your way because I don't feel great. I don't think a lot of people feel great, but I just wonder what happens, and I know what our answer might be, because we can't be satisfied with just beating bad teams. And I can't even write these in as wins right now based off of what I saw. But there is a stretch of Giants, Jets, Washington, Giants, Washington. And if that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 game span, you win 3 of 5 or 4 of 5, is the energy different if you're at least watching the football move and it looks better? Like, are we putting in account enough how hard the beginning of the season is for such young and raw people in the new positions that they're in?
That's a good possibility, but then again, that leads down to our ownership hiring such a rookie crew that puts us in the position as a fan base to have to wait 2 or 3 years for these guys to get their heads together. We could have hired other coaches that have more experience or at least bring a veteran OC in to call plays, because this guy obviously does not know how to call plays. I mean, gosh, if we had 3 runs the other day? I don't want to win those games. I want to get the highest draft pick and as many high draft picks as I can at this point in time, because I'd like to see another complete reset after this season, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I don't think Jalen Hurts is our guy.
No, I don't either, Chris, and thank you so much for the phone call. I don't think Jalen Hurts is the guy either. I guess what I'll say to that is you're right. There's no reason where we had to go down the path of young and inexperienced. You could have just gotten someone who was ready for the job. And I'm not anti-young. Like, look at what's happening with the L.A. Chargers. They got a young head coach who seems to have control of the locker room. Everybody loves him. It's not goofy. It's not silly. It's not rah-rah pom-poms like Nick Sirianni. And quite frankly, it doesn't matter if that's his style as long as you're winning football games on Sundays. But he's not. And that's the difference where, you know, I'm not against young. Young is kind of what's new and hip and what's happening around the league. And this is a copycat league. So I'm not against the idea. You just got to pick the right people to do it, and it doesn't seem like Nick Sirianni is properly ready for that moment. So why does it have to be someone who's not ready that we have to grow with compared to someone who's just, quite frankly, ready for the job? I don't know if there's an entire rebuild coming, though, after this. It would be hard for me to imagine. We're sitting here today and talking about Jeffrey Lurie admitting after one season. And as I alluded to, I think we'll have a different feel when they actually, and maybe the answer will be at the time, who cares? They're beating up on bad teams. They can't beat the good teams. But I do think that we'll have a better vibe towards the back end of the season where they might win a 3 out of 5 or something along those lines compared to losing 3 straight games like they did against the 49ers, the Cowboys, and the Chiefs. But, you know, I can't write them in as wins at this point either, you know, so it's a difficult thing. All right, 610-632-0975. We are going to hear from Paul Nolan of freewinners.net to get his thoughts on this NFL Sunday to win some cash. And, you know, Dan, I love winning some cash. It helps out. I got the puppy at home, new toys, nonstop.
Show me the money.
Exactly. So we'll continue all of the great conversation on the other side. I'm Hunter Brody, and you're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
So on the Comcast Business Hotline, we have expert NFL handicapper, Las Vegas insider, and longtime partner of the station with the show here on 97.5 The Fanatic every Saturday and Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m. Paul Nolan with freewinners.net. You can get today's free picks by calling Free Winners at 888-366-3733. That's 888-366-FREE. And right now we will bring in Paul. Paul, what's going on, man? Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, good morning. How you doing today?
I'm doing well. I know yesterday we started the conversation off a little bit with my dog utilizing the bathroom. I will give you an update on that. I did not get yelled at by my neighbor this morning when I had to walk the dog. So we started off on a great note.
Well, you know what they say, poop happens, right? So as long as you're cleaning it up, you're doing the right thing. But I really think Tyrone has it. Right, just wave politely, keep your head down, and keep moving.
I love it.
You know, maybe I'll stay to myself, you stay to yourself, and there'll be no problems.
No, I absolutely love it. So I'm looking forward to today's slate of games, right? We got a lot of action going on, and I know you have some great, great answers to give the people. So why don't we start here with Green Bay versus the Washington football team?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's, to me, I like this game a lot. I think one of the things when you're looking at this game right out of the gate is, well, you know, Green Bay's obviously, you know, they've had their problems on the offensive line. They're just average at best. They have obviously the best route runner and receiver in the game in Adams and, you know, the connection that he's had with, you know, with Rodgers is nothing short of stellar, but I have seen a few misses here and there. I've seen Rodgers kind of miss guys. In fact, with 2 minutes and 18 seconds left against Cincinnati 2 weeks ago, had him wide open in the corner of the end zone and missed him by about 12 feet, threw the ball out of bounds, and essentially, you know, it was the kind of thing you think to yourself, how's that possible? How could he make such a play? And, you know, nobody's infallible. What I like here about it is the backup guard and the backup right tackle, Cornelius Lucas and Wes Schweitzer, they came in for Washington and they've outperformed Brandon Scherff, and they've done an incredible job in terms of just overall protection. And I think the market has swung so far the wrong way against Washington's defense, which obviously has been subpar thus far. And those problems really have been coming in the secondary from just simple fundamental coaching, simple fundamentals in general in terms of just how the defensive backs have played their position in man coverage and in zone. And I saw a little bit of an improvement of that last week. I do think that things have to be accounted for. Last week, they played in 15 to 24 mile an hour winds. So that does make it a little easier to play, you know, deep ball secondary play, you know, especially, you know, with Mahomes being a little more impatient this year than we've seen in the past. But I think Washington is a team that has kind of been over-criticized, even though they have been terrible. I don't deny that. But there's been like this overreaction to that. And for this line to swing up to as high as 9.5 and back down to 8.5 in some spots, 8, I still think Washington's going to keep this thing close. I think we're going to see a really good effort out of them defensively. And I think that the secondary injuries to Green Bay are going to be a problem. I really think that we're going to see Terry McLaurin get between, you know, 8 and 10 catches with 12 to 15 targets. And, you know, he's been so good on his 20-plus air yard routes. So I think with Jair Alexander out and Darnell Savage getting concussed, I think there's going to be a little bit of a – I think there's going to be some room in the secondary here. And as much as I think – Taylor Heineke's arm strength is definitely not NFL level, I think they'll score just enough points to keep this thing interesting and get it back to a cover.
All right, Washington football team getting that cover. Very interesting. And we'll stay in the 1 o'clock hour. And, of course, we were talking to Paul Nolan of freewinners.net, 888-366-3733. How about Tennessee hosting the Kansas City Chiefs with a 3-3 start with Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid?
Well, again, here's another example, in my opinion, of like last week, the entire sports betting world kind of eulogized Kansas City and how it's the worst defense we've ever seen and how terrible things have been and, you know, how they can't stop anybody. And, you know, and we saw them find a way to go in and, you know, again, in a high wind game and, you know, not the best weather. We saw that, you know, Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill were, you know, combined for 17 or 18 receptions. They had almost 200 yards of offense between them. They looked back in sync. I thought that some of the things that we saw from Tennessee last week, I don't think it's going to stand up as well offensively this week, especially if, you know, there was going to be a little bit of wind this week. But I think Kansas City's kind of been devalued to a certain degree, where I feel like this line should have been 6 or 6.5, considering that Kansas City has played such a relentless schedule. I mean, they played one of the top schedules in the league, along with your Philadelphia Eagles, teams that have been, you know, facing really strong competition and get to step down a little bit. And I think that the offensive line play for the Chiefs should get a little bit better. But more importantly, Spagnuolo finally benched Dan Sorensen last week and replaced him with Juan Thornhill, who played so well. And that made a huge difference. And we saw a lot more snaps go to Willie Gay Jr., who is definitely an upgrade over Neiman. And I think that some of the things here, like what we've seen in terms of Casey's average depth of tackle at 4.99 yards, it's stunningly bad before they're making a tackle 5 yards downfield. No one's winning with that. But I think with Chris Jones coming back, and my insiders are saying they're going to move him back to the three technique, where he's arguably the best three technique in the league, and at least top three or four. And instead of keeping him on the edge, where he essentially created, you know, two problems because he wasn't getting great pass rush on the edge, and now he'll be run stuffing in the middle. And I do believe getting Javarius Ward back is a huge help to this secondary as well. So I really wouldn't be surprised if we see Darrell Williams getting some nice, you know, receptions out of the backfield. He's seen more targets out of the backfield than Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the two games he's there. So I do think that this offense is going to start to click and move, and I like Kansas City laying four today. I think it's a fair value, and I think it's the last time we'll see KC only laying four at any point this year.
Awesome. Great information, Paul. Okay, I know you like the Eagles and the Raiders game, but before we get to that, there's one more game in that 1 o'clock hour. The Baltimore Ravens, they had all this drama before the season began with injuries to their running backs, and then you got Cincinnati. They're 4-2. Joe Burrow returning from the injury. Amazing story. The phone number, freewinners.net. You are going to want to call 888-366-FREE. Your thoughts on this battle?
Yeah, well, I mean, honestly, I could talk about these two teams all day long. I mean, to me, the Cincinnati team has impressed me so much because so many things happened along the line here. When you see receivers who can get off the line instantly and get open, getting separation instantly, just all of a sudden it makes the offensive line's job a lot easier. And you could see that group is growing confidence as a group, as a unit. That we're seeing a lot of like spit and vinegar. We're seeing a lot of toughness on that offensive line, and it's easy to build confidence when you have a guy like Ja'Marr Chase, who's number one in deep catches, number one in deep yards, number one in deep TDs, number one in deep first downs caught. I mean, the relationship with him and Burrow has been nothing short of outstanding. But most importantly is, like, you know, you got Tyler Boyd on the other side from the slot averaging 1.79 yards per route run, and he's constantly open as well. It's a great... He has weapons to work with here. You know, I like Ozuma and his tight end. You know, I like some of the things that are going on here for Cincinnati offensively. As a team, they're showing a lot of enthusiasm. They're showing toughness and grit. The defense is underrated, again, playing really well. But Baltimore, look, we've seen this team sleepwalk in the first half of that game against the Colts, and you're thinking, wow, they thought they could lace them up and just win. Well, what they do in the second half, they tighten up their bootstraps, and they just said, that's it, we're going. And Lamar Jackson put that team on his back and completely dominated. To me, it was one of the things watching him, you know, throw balls into some tighter windows than we normally see. And yes, he has had the errant pass here or there, Lamar, but he is just improving game by game. And when they get the lead, you see Baltimore slide into that 21 personnel, and they're so comfortable in that smash mouth, you can't beat us, we're physically stronger than you, take that. And it's exciting football, the fact that they can evolve and kind of change on the fly and play almost any style. I just love what Harbaugh has done with this Baltimore team in terms of coaching, but Cincinnati as well. I absolutely love this matchup. It's our best bet on the board today, along with the Eagles and Raiders. With or against the Eagles and the Raiders this year, we've been lights out. I'll go 2-0 for anybody who calls in. It's going to be free on top of the two games I gave out already, which they should bet themselves. It's both solid picks. But I'll go 2-0 today for anybody who calls in right now. And I promise you, I love the games, and there'll be no hassle or hype. You'll get those free picks right away.
That's beautiful. And I will say, I love that matchup with the Ravens and the Bengals, just in general with the division. There's something about when that division plays, it's just mean football. It's hard-hitting football. I do want to get your thoughts about this, though. In the 4 o'clock hour, there's a lot of huge spreads. And in the NFL, you know, it's crazy to see these obnoxious numbers thrown around. When you see that, like, what is your reaction? It's very interesting to me.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, it's like the SEC playing the MAC. So, you know, you're wondering to yourself, all right, what team's going to be motivated? I think some of the things to be concerned with, Arizona's got, you know, a home game on deck against Green Bay on Thursday. You know, how are they going to react? You know they weren't fully prepping just for Houston this week. You know they were prepping for Green Bay as well. So there's an issue right out of the gate. You see, Tampa Bay has been a team that really hasn't completely bullied teams that are when they've been big favorites. And, you know, so the Chicago team shows a lot of toughness on defense. Now the question comes down to, can Chicago run against a team that nobody can run against, and they live and die by the run at this point? And then lastly, you know, the Rams and the relationship between Goff and Detroit to McVay and the Rams, it's, you know, it's interesting. And, you know, you know, obviously Stafford, and there's so much melodrama here. To me, I find some of these games a little, I just don't know how to react to them. I really have stayed away from them for the most part. I just didn't find any real value. The numbers are true. We had the Rams should be 16-16. We had Tampa Bay should be 12.5. And, you know, we had 18 as the line for Arizona. So, I mean, it's hard. It's really hard to lay 18 in the NFL, especially with a Thursday game coming on deck, especially against a Houston team that, you know, got to be embarrassed by being such a big dog. I mean, they see the numbers, and you know, there's some pride over there. That team has played with some toughness and pride. But are you really going to back your money, you know, with Mr. Mills and, you know, in an offense that really, outside of Cooks, has looked just completely, I don't know, bad?
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. That's why it's fascinating when you see it, because it's so,
yes,
at this level, it's, you know, it's professional football. So, Paul Nolan, freewinners.net, great information, great insight. I listened to your show this morning as I was driving in. Always fantastic. And I want to thank you so much for taking the time to share all this great knowledge.
Thank you, sir. I really appreciate it. Love the audience. Love the great people of Philly. It's the best, you know, just the best group, most passionate sports fans. And I thank you so much for letting me share the airwaves here. And I can promise you, I will go 2-0 today. I really do. I'll go 2-0 absolutely free of anybody who calls in. There'll be no catch or hassle. I promise you, 888-366-3733. Call up, and I will give you all two free picks for today.
Thank you so much, Paul. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. That was Paul Nolan of freewinners.net, who joined us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Comcast Business, every day in business is a big day. Let Comcast Business keep you ready for what's next. That is just fantastic information. You are going to want to call in, for sure, 1,000%. The phone number, one more time, at freewinners.net, 888-366-3733. That's 888-366-FREE.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back to 97.5 The Fanatic. 10:30 on a Sunday morning. Eagles game day on Broads. We have a lot to talk about. It's week 7. Crazy, it's week 7, by the way. And The Fanatic gets you ready for the Birds in Vegas. Join Devon Givens and Derek Gunn today, starting at 1 p.m. for The Fanatic's pregame show live from Name This Restaurant and Sports Bar, 2900 Street Road in Bensalem. It's presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. Use promo code GAMEDAY. $1 Miller Lite drafts throughout the broadcast. Plus, you can register to win a pair of Eagles flight deck tickets to the next home game when the Chargers come to town, courtesy of Miller Lite, a fine pilsner, some would say, an official sponsor of the Philadelphia Eagles. Also, you can help name the bar. Click contest at 975thefanatic.com and name this restaurant and sports bar. So, I teased that I would tell you my fear of Jalen Hurts. I don't know if it really, like, now we're getting to this level of intensity that maybe the music takes it to an extreme that it didn't need to go to. Maybe not, though. Maybe it fits perfectly. It is scary to think about. We may be in a predicament where Jalen Hurts does just enough during that stretch. Jets, Giants, Washington football team, where the offense looks better by the end of the year. You close out the season with maybe 3 or 4 wins in 6 games or so, and now you're stuck. You're stuck on what to do because you're out of the mindset of what we just went through early on in the season, which was Tom Brady, Kansas City. It was brutal. It was ugly. But now you're looking better against better teams. Is it he's learning? Is it he's becoming a better passer? Is it the accuracy is stronger? Or is it the product of the bad teams? What does Howie Roseman do? What does Jeffrey Lurie do? Ah! That's awesome. Oh, that was a lot of fun. But no, in all seriousness, that is my concern, though. It's like we might be in a situation towards the end of the year. That scream was fantastic. By the end of the year, where we are stuck in this, well, he's showing signs of growth, and you can't just demand him being instantly perfect. Lamar Jackson, he can never throw. He can never throw. He will never throw. He will never throw. Oh, he's looking pretty damn good right now. Not perfect, but he's getting better. Josh Allen, it's a little bit different because you knew the arm talent was always there, but he threw a lot of interceptions compared to his touchdowns his rookie season. But the arm talent was always there. It is different. You're going to be stuck with he shows a lot of promise, and then he also shows a lot of failures, and then you're going to be somewhere in the middle with what do I do with this? Because we can't demand excellence right away. That's unfair. Time is also not on his side due to what you have in compensation at the end of the year. And real quickly before we go to the phones, Kevin, Bo, Nick, thank you for holding on. There are a spot for you to hop in as well at 610-632-0975. Now's a great time. I have to give a shout out to my guy here, Michael Moyer, who reached out to me on Twitter, gave me some information to help out with the whole dog learning skills.
Okay.
Yeah, so maybe I'll look into that. I'm looking forward to it with some commands, maybe help out a little bit as she's playing around with her puppiness. So thank you, Michael, for that. All right, the phones. Let's go to Kevin in Philly. Kevin, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, what's up, Bruce?
Hey, Kevin.
You know what? Let me just start off by saying that I was never a sports radio fan. You know, whenever I was in the car, I was always listening to music. But when I was working for Amazon a little while ago, I happened to get in the van, and I turned the van on, and somebody had the Fanatic on. And I heard your voice. I'm a big fan of yours from your YouTube channel. And that's where I, you know, that's where I started following you at. So when I turned the radio on and I heard your voice, I said, that voice looks real familiar because you have a distinct voice. And I listened to you that day. I hopped on, you know, I hopped on Google, found out when you were on the Fanatic, and I've been a fan of the Fanatic ever since. I went from just listening to you to listening to Mike Missanelli and Devon. And, you know, I've been a fan of the show ever since.
Well, thank you so much, Kevin. That really does mean a lot to me. Thank you so much, and you made a great choice. There's a lot of great content here on this station, but thank you. That really does mean a lot
You're
to
right.
me. Thank you.
Yeah, so I called in because, you know, you sort of nailed it a little, you know, a few minutes ago when you were saying that, you know, that was Sirianni's pitch when he came over here, that he's worked with multiple quarterbacks with different styles. So now it has me wondering, well, you know, is that an indictment on Jalen Hurts? Because, you know, like he's worked with Andrew Luck, and he can't call the same game for Andrew Luck that he would call for Philip Rivers. You know, so, you know, there were two different game plans, but he found a way to make it work. So is the scheme that he's running now and the game plan that he's calling, is that because of the limitations that he sees in Jalen?
I think it absolutely is. I really do. But I also wonder, because it's unfair to just keep Nick Sirianni off the hook at the same time, is when I watch him, he does look overwhelmed. He does look overmatched a little bit. And he does seem like there's a lot going on. The game speeds up on him. Time management sometimes is a little bit wonky. I remember specifically it's 3rd and 4. It's a crucial, crucial, crucial part of the game. And he sees that there's actually not communication happening on the line of scrimmage. And instead of calling timeout to settle things down because it's the 4th quarter and you need to get this play, they ended up going for it on 4th down anyway, and they missed. But it's like that's the type of little details where – and that's a different conversation from X's and O's, but my point is he does seem a little overmatched by the moment at the same time.
Now, when Sirianni was in Indy, every quarterback that he had worked with, you know, he already knew what he was getting out of those guys and what they brought to the table before he started working with them, whether it was Luck or Jacoby Brissett or Phillip Rivers. So do you think that this is still a learning process with him and Jalen, because he really doesn't know what Jalen, you know, like what are his strong suits right now, what he brings to the table, you know, what his potential is?
I think it's yes and no. So where I'll say yes is, you know, like, yeah, they've only played a handful of games together, and there is a like a whole process that you have to go through to truly understand. At the same time, I think that there's enough information and enough data out there for Nick Sirianni to know, like, hey, under center, not under center. There's a reason why he's not under center, and there's a reason why they can't run the ball that way. So I think it's a combination of both, where you're always learning. And these quarterbacks that we're talking about in Indianapolis, they're proven to an extent, right? Like, Jacoby Brissett isn't proven in terms of, like, a legitimate, insane starter, but you know that he can at least hold his own in the NFL throughout a decent amount of stretch of time in some sort of role. You don't know that, really, with Jalen Hurts at this point. So that's where I'm kind of conflicted with that answer. But it is unfortunate because I'm rooting for Hurts. I think he's got the proper mentality to really succeed here. But I don't know if he has the proper skill set to do it.
I agree.
Yeah. Well, Kevin, thank you so much, man. I really do appreciate everything you said to start the call. Thank you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Let's go to Bo in Doylestown. Bo, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hey, Bo.
Sitting here with my two dogs. I got an English Mastiff and a Pit Bull in the back of my car.
Nice.
You know, really excited to call in today. So here's what I have for you. So it just takes 3.9 seconds, again, for Jalen to get rid of the ball when he's passing, which is 90% of the time. And the average for successful QBs is 2.9. So how do you get at least down to like a 3.2 or a 3.0? It's just not happening. And I love the guy. He's a great comeback story. I think he's super athletic, but he just doesn't have the knowledge of the defenses, the timing, and the confidence in his accuracy to get rid of the ball on time.
I love that you just mentioned the timing. That's huge. If you remember, I believe it was Jalen Reagor. It's been a little bit of time since the game happened, but when Jalen Reagor was down that right sideline, I think he actually created a pass interference call on it. But if he just got the ball out, and they showed it on the broadcast, they mentioned, look how much time it took for him to step into that pocket and leave everything out there in that throw, where if you threw the ball maybe 1 second earlier and you time Reagor getting downfield, instead of having to result in a flag, you actually connect and then it's a touchdown. So timing is very massive when he needs to release the ball earlier and trust his receivers to get it. At the same time, we have a very young, raw wide receiving core as well, which also plays a factor.
Right. Yeah. So with what I pointed out, I mean, you look at the defense, they're gassed at the end of the first half. I mean, the Eagles literally have the ball 20% of the first half because it's three and out, three and out, three and out. And, you know, at the end of the day, like, you can't play that way. When they finally figure it out, they're literally two touchdowns down, and the defense is laying off a little bit. Sorry about that. I'm trying to drive here.
No, it's anyway, okay. No, with the three and outs,
my point is, end of the day, their defense is fantastic. If you look at their defense when the other teams are not sustaining drives, and the offense is maybe putting together a nine-play drive, their defense is one of the best defenses in the league.
Yeah, but why are we eliminating those situations? I mean, that's a reason why they're not. I wouldn't say fantastic. I've actually been underwhelmed with the game plan. But, you know, when you just stated, and maybe I heard it wrong, but you stated when they don't get shelled and annihilated in nine-minute drives, but they are, and that's the reason why they're not fantastic, no?
No. My point is the offense is three and out. They're on the field a lot, and they're getting tired in the first half. I've seen in second halves where they're still one of the best defenses in the league when their offense is sustaining drives, the Eagles' offense. So they're properly rested, and they're literally getting after people. So at the end of the day, fix Jalen Hurts, getting rid of the ball, quicker decision-making, and not, you know, not be a drop-back flag football quarterback. I'm tired of seeing it.
Well, really, I think there's a reason why we're seeing it, Bo, and thank you so much for calling. I think there's a reason why we're witnessing that. I think there's a reason why he's not really dropping back because he's not under center to drop back. But, yeah, I mean, he's in the shotgun and he's sitting there in the pocket until he runs out of it way too early. I was a little lost with Bo there in terms of the defense being fantastic. And his point is when they're well-rested because the offense is moving, their defense is fine. But I don't think you can label fantastic on this defense at all. I've been very underwhelmed with the concepts and the belief of Jonathan Gannon. And I'm not saying the belief is horrendous if you have the proper personnel, but a part of coaching is your job is to adapt, and that's what they sold us. That's what they came in here saying. We don't have schemes. We see our players, and then we work around what our player's skill set is to put ourselves in the best position. That's not what I'm watching out of Jonathan Gannon at all. What I'm watching is a scheme, a very, very soft, high safety scheme with shells that are not working against the great quarterbacks. And your idea and belief against the great quarterbacks is, let's wait for them to make a mistake. We'll wait for Tom Brady, wait for Pat Mahomes, and wait for Dak Prescott. We'll wait for them to make the mistakes. Well, I mean, that's a horrible way of living. You got to force mistakes, and you have to at least try to make them make mistakes. You might fail, but at least try. It goes back to Derek Carr is in a category in between Darnold and the greats in the league. I think he's accurate enough, very strong on third downs, to put themselves in a position to work well against this Eagles defense. I truly believe it. It'll come down to that run game, though. Will they commit to the run? I'm not talking the Eagles. I'm talking the Raiders, because they don't run the rock very well, but there's a spot for them to do it with these linebackers in an Eagles uniform. Nick in Jersey, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
What's up, Nick?
The point I was going to make, you said something earlier when I was on hold, and it kind of intertwined with it. You said it could be, you know, Jalen Hurts is the reason why Nick Sirianni is doing the calls that he's doing.
Yes.
And that might be because maybe Sirianni does see how, you know, the accuracy and the he can't make a long throw that hits his target. Maybe he's being forced to make those kind of plays.
So what do you mean he's being forced to do that, though? You're saying Nick Sirianni's putting him in the spot to throw those balls?
Like Jalen Hurts is making Sirianni lose faith in him, so that's why he keeps making these screen pass calls all the time.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you. I think that, I think that's exactly what's going on. I'm sorry, I misunderstood you in the beginning. I think that's exactly what's happening is Nick Sirianni sees that he struggles. And then I guess Nick Sirianni's saying, well, I know this isn't a great percentage to win, but if we do have any chance of winning, it's not putting him under center. It's not utilizing the middle of the field, even though that's what we want to see, so then we at least have answers on what Jalen Hurts is. It's like, you have to at least try so we know. But what Nick Sirianni's thinking is, I have to try and win this football game, and I know the percentage isn't high, but it's higher than if we do those things that we're trying to figure out, so I have to stay with this game plan. And he basically has his hands tied behind his back, but I don't want to take Nick Sirianni off the hook here, because there's a lot of areas that I think he could be a lot better in as well, but that's where I'm at right now.
Right, everyone's held accountable, obviously. It's a whole team effort, and the point that I was going to make that kind of mixes what you said is I'm not the one calling, like you said, it's too early to call for Minshew or Flacco to come into the game, but I've seen in the past with different players that haven't been put up to their expectations, the thing with this team is Howie Roseman is not like to, and I'm not saying Howie Roseman obviously makes the decisions, he's not the head coach, but they don't like to pull the guys that they draft high because it makes them look like he messed up and it was a bad draft pick.
Right, so you're saying they might force Jalen Hurts out. But here's the thing. At the end of the day, Nick, what is this season about? Learning about, I guess, three people. Jonathan Gannon's in there. But most importantly, who's the quarterback and who's the head coach? What do we know about them? If you yank him after eight, and I'm not saying you're saying this, but, you know, down that road, if you yank him after week eight, week nine, week 10, I mean, are you getting the information? Like, is it fair to judge him off of losing to the best teams and not giving him an opportunity to play against weaker opponents to see, like, where he falls kind of thing?
No, right. Obviously, it's all about learning. There wasn't really high expectations here. As much as we like to see him and as much as we like to see them win, it wasn't, you know, we're going to Super Bowl this year. I guess I get kind of frustrated a little bit when all these people are defending Hurts so much when he's part of the problem.
Yeah, there is an obsession, and thank you, Nick, for calling in. There is an obsession with, like, because this happened early in the season, his numbers were great. Yeah, his numbers are great because the air yards are under 2 yards, and he's just throwing it to the left for a handful of yards, and then they're running. Like, yeah, the completion percentage is great. It's because he's not throwing the football far at all. Oh, he's got all these yards. He was in the same category as Pat Mahomes, Andrew Luck, and some of these other guys. And I asked the question, that's great. When you see Jalen Hurts play, do you think he even fits in that category? Do you know how many stats you see out there where there's one random person? Let's, for example, and I'm just making this up off the top of my head, but let's use hockey, or maybe I'll use basketball. Have you ever seen stats where it's Joel Embiid, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, right? All the top players, Damian Lillard, and then somehow TJ McConnell's in that? And you're like, what? How does that make sense? And it's something foolish, right? Something about maybe steals because he had that one game. Remember he had that one game where he had almost double-digit steals or something crazy like that, an obnoxious amount of steals in the first half. What? TJ McConnell doesn't fit in that category? Well, that's what I saw when I witnessed Jalen Hurts' name on that list. He doesn't deserve to be anywhere close to that at all. So I guess I want to throw this out there. Because, and I'm not saying that Nick mentioned this to do, but it's just the hypothetical of, okay, let's say Jalen Hurts is so miserable at some point, you think to yourself, maybe they should. What does Joe Flacco playing games do for this organization? Squat. Nothing. You're going to walk in there and somehow this offense is going to be powerful and moving the ball downfield. Let's say you win a game or two. What do you learn? That Joe Flacco's a backup quarterback? Hey, I have that information already. I don't need to learn about that. I know what that is. And don't even get me started on Gardner Minshew, as if that's a real conversation to have. Let's go to Brandon in Philly. Brandon, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, what's up, bro?
What's up, Brandon?
Couple quick points. I'm going into work right now. I think the Eagles got a good chance to win this game today. Jalen Hurts, I think he's more of a I think the jury's out on him. I think he's a backup quarterback, bridge quarterback, like a Tyrod Taylor. I don't see him really being a franchise quarterback again any better. Like a Tyrod or a Teddy Bridgewater type of guy. Like, he belongs in the league, but franchise, I don't think so.
Yeah, I would absolutely say that you are correct with that. And even when they start to play these worse opponents and things, and maybe I'm being too optimistic here, but when things do maybe get a little bit easier and a little bit better, even though the Eagles might be in the same category as Washington and the New York Giants at this point, but I would agree with you. I think, not that I'm writing them off completely, but if I'm looking at my radar, it's clearly leaning towards you have to look in another direction at the end of this season.
Yeah, I agree. One more quick point, I'm going to hang up. I think it's coming up from upstairs why they're passing the ball so much. They want to see what this guy has. I think that's coming from Howie and Jeffrey, honestly.
That's why they hire
Sirianni as a puppet.
Sure.
And he's just throwing the ball every play because there's no way you're not running the ball this much.
Yeah, for sure, Brandon. Thank you so much, man. I will say there's two things to that. Yeah, I think that's happening because it happened under Doug Peterson. So why would I imagine? Now, there's self-assessing that happens. I hate using that word because of the way Nick Sirianni does. But, you know, do I think that Jeffrey Lurie is looking at himself in the mirror saying, maybe I shouldn't put my hands in there anymore? No, I don't think that at all. So, sure, I think that's absolutely a part of it where he's saying, let's pass more than run. Also factor in when you're in the shotgun the way that you are and you have to live that way, it makes it that much more difficult. And we're talking about the NFL. National Football League defensive coordinators. You know what Todd Bowles does when he looks at that offense? He laughs. He mocks it. It's easy. It's a simple week. You can almost chalk it up to a bye week with the way that some of these strong defensive coordinators analyzes what's happening. Keep the ball in Jalen Hurts' hand. If they do utilize the shotgun for an RPO, don't allow them to pass to hand it off to Miles Sanders. Keep it in the hands of Jalen Hurts, and then take away the first read because he's not good at reading the second. Then they scramble, bada bing, bada boom, three and out. Here we go. Let's move downfield. It's not as if that Tampa Bay team on that Thursday night was so engaged and so aware and so ready to compete. They were half-assing it, just going through the motions and winning the way that they needed to. Simple. Take what the defense was giving you. Nice and easy. Wash your hands. We're on to the next week. You know, it's just that simple. So the reason why the run game isn't happening, yes, Jeffrey Lurie and the impact of the front office, but also, yes, Jalen Hurts' inability to go under center. That's massive, massive. If you have a quarterback that can go under center, I don't think we're having this conversation the same way. But it goes back to one of our key points. You can do more than what you're doing with this, but there is a very crucial problem at the same time for the bigger sample size. So you can run the ball more than two or three times to Sanders, even out of the shotgun, and you can have more efficiency with it, but you're going to have a ceiling and a cap because in the National Football League, you can't live this way. You can't. So 610-632-0975, we roll into the last hour of the show, continuing it all. And I want to hear from you. Matt, we will start with you on the other side. if you're listening out there, this is a great time to climb in. 610-632-0975. It is a game day here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.